get started with some updates, perhaps. And whoever has, do you have any updates to
tell us? I gave Lewis the full stack trace from whenever the kernel happens to hang on file mappings. I started looking into it. It either might be an RCU lock, or it might be locking twice because it's right after the RA submit.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere down the line, it tries to do another lock.
Mm-hmm.
I just got the full stack trace.
What was the setup you have for dev test?
When I run on Ubuntu 10.10, right after it does the startup scripts is when it hangs. So I enabled the lock checking for just about everything. So
right.
That's the only time it really gives me anything.
That might be a different problem. Actually, because the problem that I had was related to it's a micro benchmark where I do an Nmap of file, right?
Yeah.
And then that's where the problem comes.
All right.
So this seems like a different problem, and you're saying that this is happening at boot time, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Once it's done booting and it tries to get into user mode, I think.
Right. So I would suggest to use because Ubuntu usually has too many things and
I'm gonna run it on Gentoo as well.
Kernel compiled with a bunch of stuff that we don't need, and there are a bunch of services that are started we don't need, right? So I would suggest you to use the Gentoo, which is much more clean, and I think we can isolate better the problem, right?
Yeah.
The other thing is that I think in the virtual machine of Gentoo I gave you, the micro benchmark I used is there. It's something like sort FS or random access FS or something like that.
All right.
There are probably four micro benchmarks I have there.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the micro benchmark with the underscore FS.
All right.
It means that it's doing nmap to a file. Right, so the other ones are using anonymous pages, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would isolate better the problem.
Alright.
But this other problem that you discovered, is it with the same kernel or a different kernel?
It's the same kernel.
The same kernel, mm-hmm. Okay. And that's related, you think it's related to an RCU lock?
It might be.
Mm. Okay. So that's also valuable, I think. Eventually, if we do figure out this problem, we may run into the other one. So certainly worth having all the stack traces that we can get. Okay, so that's good. And any other updates with respect to the non-blocking write stuff?
I've been reading up on that for the page fault handler.
Okay.
I've been looking at each one, since there's one for each architecture, so I'm trying to see where would be the best idea to start.
Mm. So you can be architecture independent.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all.
I wouldn't. I don't think that's a very good idea right now. I guess just make it work with x86, that's fine enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, but wait, how do you have any ideas how to make it architecture independent?
That's what I was looking at this week.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, because if you had a concrete idea, probably wasn't simple enough to do it. But I also would suggest to go with the go straight to the Intel.
I disagree with that. I think it makes sense to spend some time trying to at least determine if an architecture independent solution is possible, and if it is, then we can find out how difficult it is to do it, and if it's simple, then we should go for that instead of an Intel specific solution. Now,
excuse me, go ahead.
No, what I'm saying is that if it's straightforward to do an architecture independent solution, we should go for that instead of an Intel specific or x86 specific solution.
Okay, that makes sense. And it
makes sense to also spend some time looking into whether that's feasible or not.
Yeah, I think that that's fine as long as we don't spend a huge amount of time doing that.
I understand. Yeah, I agree with that too. I think maybe another week if we can continue to look at that. And also, I think we'll have to look at one of the solutions for handling user level faults, right? So that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about page faults.
Yeah.
But then we also have to address the syscall path, right, with reads and writes. And I don't know if you spend time looking at that other control flow. Okay. And it would be a good idea to find out what are the syscalls that actually modify kernel pages, because it's not just write. For instance, open would modify pages possibly, because if you're doing an open, then it would need to read the inode of the file and modify the access time and things like that. So even that could be set up for a non-blocking write. Similarly, a truncate would do something. It would modify metadata. What else? You have create. I don't know. There may be other. All I'm saying is that there may be other syscalls that modify metadata pages, and there may be other syscalls that also modify data pages. And Lewis and Ricardo, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, but first I wanted to give Jesus a couple of tips about the page fault handling code.
Okay.
Well, the first one is that I don't remember the exact name, but all page fault handlers for all architectures end up calling the same functions. One of them is mmfaultpt something.
Handler.
All architectures will call that. So if you can do this, the non-blocking write stuff at that function level, that would be great. The other thing is that for x86, there is this file, kmmcheck.c, and there you can see code for how to single step and how to opcode disassemble.
Write these things down, or
It's called K mem check.
Something to write into.
We have one of the pages over there.
Can you repeat whatever you said, Ricardo?
The first thing was that all architectures, all page fault handlers architectures, end up calling the same function, which is mm fault handlers or something like that. I can check it out later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can compile a message for Jesus to help him, that would be great.
Okay. Then, real quick, the other file, a file he really has to check is called kmemcheck.c.
Okay. Yeah, I think he has that already.
Yeah, that file is the key for single stepping and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And about the other control path, I was checking. It seems to me that we have to pick some fault system specifically.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because we cannot do that at the VFS level.
Oh, because for modifying metadata, you mean?
Yes.
No, but I see. Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure. I can check off.
No, that sort of makes sense. I mean, because the individual file systems would register very abstract functions such as open, read, write. But the VFS does manage the page cache, including both data as well as metadata. So I'm not sure whether a file system independent solution is possible or not. Because all pages are managed by the VFS, but maybe the file systems also have handles to those pages
so
that they can Yeah.
But now that I remember, I sent everybody a piece of code a couple of days or weeks ago or something. Oh. And I remember the following check. It was for the link function for EXT2.
Hmm.
And inside that function, they ask, is the page we are we want to modify on the page cache, yes or not? And if it's not, then load it from disk. And that test was being done at EXT2 code.
That to me makes less sense because I think I remember code from like 10 years ago, but I don't know whether it has changed or not. But there was a clear distinction between file system level access versus VFS level access. I remember that at least at the time when I was looking at the code, the VFS would look up a page in the cache if it existed. And if it existed, it would return that. If it doesn't exist, then it would invoke file system specific function to read the page.
Yeah, but in this case, it was the metadata page.
Right. So metadata page, I agree. Maybe I don't know much about that, but I think the data pages are cached at the VFS level and looked up at the VFS level. So we may be able to do something which is file system independent, at least for the data pages.
Okay, so we might not want to consider metadata pages.
Well, in fact, for metadata, I'm trying to think if it is even feasible to implement non-blocking writes, because what I'm thinking is that any metadata write would first need to do a lookup. I mean, does that make sense to you? Any metadata write to any file or directory would need to first look up whether the entry exists or not.
Yes, that's true.
And that would block if it's not in memory.
Wait, so, I mean, I'm trying to understand if even doing metadata write makes sense. Because the thing is that if that is true, then the only places where we can apply the non-blocking write is when there is a flush, right?
When there is a flush?
Yeah, because the thing is that the point is that we have to... Okay, so the non-blocking writes happen when you try to write to a page that is, or, that is not in memory.
Yeah.
Right? So what we're saying is that that page is now metadata.
Correct.
Right. So, what would happen is that, okay, so we write a page and we change, for instance, the time, the access time.
Yeah.
That's the point. I think it's fine because in any case, doing that in the background.
Actually, it is possible, I think. I think it's possible that you write to a metadata page without reading from it. So let's say that you write to a data page, to a file, for a file, then you need to update the metadata for that file as well. So maybe update the last return time or last access time information. And that may not necessarily involve a read operation to the metadata page.
I think we don't need to worry about that because then with the non-blocking write, that would happen in the background, right? Asynchronously.
I'm sorry, what do you mean we don't have to worry about that? We have to implement the non-blocking write, don't we?
Yes, right. But the thing is that once we buffer the write, the rest of the things can happen in the background.
True.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That includes updating the metadata.
True. But I guess the real question is, how do you update the metadata? I mean, who updates the metadata and how does metadata get updated?
I would say that the metadata can be updated once the completion completion of the read happens, right? I mean, once the completion of the asynchronous read we did completed, and we do the merge, then it makes sense to update the metadata because we haven't done the write yet.
I understand, but I guess the question really is, how do we create the patch for the metadata update? How do we determine what patch to create? To create the patch, we need to have a specific page and a specific set of offsets within the page that get modified. How do we find that out, or how do we determine what gets modified? Maybe what you're saying is that we don't even need to know that and can save it for later. Maybe block the process at the entry of the of the specific metadata modification, and then wait for the metadata page to be read, and then go ahead and execute all the instructions that create the modification. I mean, is that what you're trying to say, or?
I think what he's trying to say is that, I mean, the patches for metadata doesn't have to be offset in a page, because we might not even know what the offset in the page is.
Right. So I guess there are two ways. One is that we go to the point in code where we know where the offset is, and then set up the patch.
Yes.
And what you're saying is that that point in code is probably inside the actual file systems.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that offset is what? The offset of the metadata?
No, the offset of the stuff you're trying to write inside the page you're trying to write.
But that offset, I mean, at least in the system call, we have that offset, right?
No, but for metadata, we don't have it.
Okay, then the answer is yes. What I asked for is that offset was for the metadata. So, as I see it, let's see what happened in the normal case. In the normal case, you try to write.
You mean in the data case or the metadata?
No, I'm talking about the normal case. We don't have non-blocking write implemented yet. Right?
Okay, for metadata or data?
For both.
Okay.
Okay, so what would happen is that you try to write.
Mm-hmm.
Pages are in memory, so you read the page.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Once you read the page, you perform the modifications,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the metadata is updated.
Yeah.
Right? If we follow the same steps in the non-blocking write, what will happen is that the write system call is issued. Then we see that the page is not in memory, so we need to issue an asynchronous read, and we forget about the two steps. Right? Until the read at completion is done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So once the at completion is done, we just need to run the last two steps as it was done before.
Right. I understand. I think for data, it's probably okay. For data, it's probably okay because there is very little reason why a write should fail. But for metadata, because the write depends on the metadata itself. So, for instance, if you open a file or you, let's say, truncate a file that doesn't exist, then you cannot return back to the application saying that your write succeeded. So you have to obtain the correct return value for the metadata operation system call. You need to actually do certain things at least. So the return value of the syscall is the problematic part that I see here.
I see. That's actually tricky. What happened if it failed, for instance?
Mm-hmm. If the write failed?
Yeah.
If the write failed to disk, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, any operation fails.
So for data writes, we could possibly set up the asynchronous write without any problem, if it's especially modifying an existing page.
Yeah.
There is no reason why I cannot think of a reason why it should fail writing to a page in memory.
Right.
If it failed writing to a page in memory, then you're dead anyway. So, I mean, nothing else matters, I guess. So, but, I mean, assuming that everything is okay, and then you should be, successful in writing to a page in memory, and therefore it's okay to let the application assume that it actually wrote to memory already. But for a metadata page with a return value of the operation, let's say truncate operation or whatever operation, stat operation, I don't know, any operation that performs a write to a metadata page that returns a value that's dependent on the actual read operation, then we are a little bit more tricky.
Yeah, not only that, but I don't see how much benefits you can have from that thing.
Well, if, let's say, you have more metadata writes than data writes.
What case do you have that?
I also have a Postman who does pretty much all metadata, right?
Yeah, Postman creates a whole bunch of files, and then it does. It is a metadata intensive benchmark, and there are workloads that are metadata intensive. What we could possibly do is to first explore the data writes and making those non-blocking, and then go after the metadata. But in the meanwhile, if there are some ideas as to what we could do, I think it's something can be done. It's just a question of to what extent we can go and how file system independent we can make it.
Okay.
So, for instance, we can classify, this is one strategy, we can classify operations at a very high level into operations that must succeed or that will succeed no matter what, unless, you know, there is memory hardware issue, and then operations where the operation the return value is not available ahead of time, and it can be multiple things, right? So maybe we could start by classifying these two different types of operations, and then maybe handling one of them the easy way and handling the other one with a lot more thought.
Okay.
But that's one high level thought, I mean, direction that I came up with now. But I'm sure, you know, if we start thinking more about this, we'll come up with perhaps better solutions.
Yeah, I mean, I also think we should just go ahead with this simple solution and see some numbers, some performance numbers for this, just, you know, quick.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, I don't want us to embark on an implementation effort that may be quick, but we don't know when it ends and is not well designed, right?
Okay.
So it's okay to, I think, to spend 1 week or even 2 weeks just to evaluate different choices in the implementation, so that, you know, if we spend some more time now in the beginning stage, we might be able to identify a simpler way to implement our solution. Then we just pick one direction and go with that.
Okay.
So I think what Jesus is doing is very useful to evaluate different possibilities to, you know, both the page fault handling and now maybe start looking at some of the system calls and to see what, you know, what we can do with them. Maybe you can start by classifying system calls the way I described earlier. Okay, so, right. So I guess you're working on these two things simultaneously, the stack trace and this one. Anything else, Lewis?
No.
I have one more thing. From the last meeting, you were saying you were considering the possibility of buying an Itanium because of
yeah.
We thought that it signs of the data that's being faulty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know where I got that because I'm looking at code that I thought was using that and the manuals and I cannot find anything, and Luis was looking at the same things and he cannot find anything. So that's why he decided to remove that sentence from the paper, and I don't think buying the Titanium is a good idea because we're not sure.
Okay. Is the Titanium substantially more expensive than let's say Core? What are the latest Intel processors now?
i7
or i5, whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I am planning to purchase a machine that Asus can use.
Okay.
So if there is a recommendation, maybe if you want to recommend a processor that would be more useful and suitable for this project, and even if it's just for exploratory purpose, we can buy a machine with that processor.
I would recommend a RISC processor.
Yeah. That one for sure will make one word loads and stores, right?
A RISC processor.
I mean, I don't know. I think for sure will make only one word loads and stores, right?
Okay. What RISC processor should we then get?
Yeah, I think the RISC processor can make things a lot easier.
Like the old Macs, they have RISC processors. PowerPCs, I think.
A PowerPC? Apple doesn't sell those anymore.
Maybe an old one?
Old one, where do I get? eBay, you mean?
Or, I don't know. The other option would be a Power 6 or a Spark, I don't know.
Oh, you mean, the Power...
Power Series.
The Power Series of processors.
But also Power PCs are RISC, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Power PC is the same architecture of the Power 6, Power 10,
yeah,
and so on.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you can recommend me some machine, then that would be good. Then I can place an order for it.
Okay.
Do you have anything in mind? I mean, something that's affordable, I mean.
Yeah.
Right, what is the budget? Do you have a budget for this?
Let's say we can go up to 1500, including a monitor, or, I mean, in the worst case, 2000.
Okay.
Yeah, if we can stay within 1500, that would be ideal.
Okay,
so what is the plan for this week? I guess just continue whatever you're doing, and we'll get an update next week. In the meanwhile, you guys, I guess you're probably pretty busy getting set up at VMware and working on your projects there. So Ricardo, if you want to sort of compile your pointers for Jesus so he can maybe avoid some of the roadblocks, that would be great.
Okay. One more question about hot storage. I don't know whether to go or not.
Yes, I think you can go.
I should go? I don't know.
I think you should go. Well, I'll be there, and Lewis will be there, right? So, I think you should apply for the... at least the student travel grant.
Yeah, I'll apply for that, yeah.
So, Lewis, I'm assuming you're also applying for it, right?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, and I think in case you cannot cover all the expense, I can certainly cover the rest, or that shouldn't be a problem. I think we have travel money at this point.
Are you going to the whole conference?
I have not figured that out yet. I'll be there for hot storage, certainly, but I don't know if I'll be there for the Usenix annual technical conference. If I attend, maybe 1 or 2 days at most, but not the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so let me know if you hear back from the grant, for the grant.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
All right, so let's meet same time next week then.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So, all good?
Yep.